From scratch.
Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
This week, dear listener, is a very, very special week in the From Scratch studio. It is our centenary birthday. We have reached the ripe old age of 100. It was the 20th of March, 2014, when we did our first episode on neuroscience. And we haven't quite clocked up an episode a week for all those statisticians out there, but I think it's still quite an achievement. It's 4 years, just over 4 years, and we're still at it. So how's it been for you, Nigel?
4 years of sheer joy. It's been fun. And we've actually talked about an extraordinary range of topics, which I hope at least a few people found interesting. But it is indeed a special event. 100 is good. I never thought when we did that first one, we'd get to 100. Did you?
No. It's a kind of experiment and it continues to be. And we just do it. And it's amazing because right now you're in Australia, I'm in the UK. Wherever we are in the world, we managed to check in. We've managed to pull in some interesting speakers. And I'd love to carry on with it. So I think it's a big achievement and I enjoy it. And I just hope that someone gets something out of it occasionally.
That is our...
So this week, we've got a special guest.
We have a very special guest.
And Nigel, I'm going to let you introduce him. You interviewed him and it's really fascinating. I love what came out of that interview. And this week, we'll probably go over our 5 or 6 minute rule just because we're 100 years old and we thought we would indulge ourselves. So Nigel, tell us who it is.
I managed to persuade Elliot Maisie, he of Learning 18, the new conference, and other learnings pass him, someone who's been involved in learning and development for probably 30 or 40 years, an interesting, thoughtful, intelligent guy who, just as L&D has kind of remade itself over the decades, he's remade himself. And that's what I wanted to talk to him about whether his feeling about the future is a sense of optimism or a sense of pessimism, whether he's up for it or kind of drags himself out of bed in the morning. That was where we started. And I think you'll find his answers extraordinarily illuminating.
Great. Well, let's go over to that interview now.
From scratch.
Elliot, thanks very much indeed for talking to me today. It's always a pleasure to have a conversation. Now, you've been around, I think we could say politely, for 1 or 2 years. And you've seen things come, things go. What excites you now? What gets you up in the morning? What makes you not say, oh, I'm over this?
There are two things. I believe that the world of learning, the process of learning, the process of improving our performance is breaking through all of its boundaries. That the combination of the curiosity enablement that people have when they have mobile devices, the power of search, and now the emerging technologies of wearables, of smart speakers, and someday machine learning and artificial intelligence. But for now, what's so exciting is the best stuff in learning is happening from people and organizations that don't necessarily have learning and development in their title. It's happening from people and organizations that are focused on the most beautiful thing in the world, which is helping people, even themselves, get smarter, better, change a behavior, you know, improve a process. Is happening, and it's happening beyond the model that we need to build a school or a schoolhouse or a traditional emulation of what we did for 12 or 17 years growing up. I really think we're at the moment in which learning and its cousins are going through a liberation. And it will be disruptive for some. It will be depressing for some. But it gets me totally charged and psyched because I'm a disruptor and an innovator, and learning is in its moment.
So you see the traditional concept of an L&D function disappearing in favor of having a much wider, broader focus with a lot lot of different people being kind of inspired by the idea of encouraging people to take charge of their destinies, to become lifelong learners, to explore new things. Is that fair?
Yeah. And you said I've been around a few years. My first IT job was in 1967, Nigel. Mm-hmm. And in 1967, if you wanted to do a transaction or run a report, you had to type up punch cards and you had to take it down to the IT department. And maybe it came back 24, 48 hours late.
And if there was just one hole missing in the punch card, the whole thing was done. The whole thing was dead.
So the fundamentals of learning and development are like the fundamentals of IT. It requires a science and engineering. Yeah. We believe that it requires curiosity. We believe that it requires a level of feedback, of simulation. Just like IT no longer, you have to go downstairs. I can now pick up my phone and do it, or pick up a device, or wear a Fitbit to do it. Those functions are going to happen throughout business, and the skills of learning and development are going to be more important than ever, but they're not going to be locked in to a single department. L&D is probably going to play a role in curation. They're probably going to play a role in finding expertise. And I really hope that they find a role in way better, reactive and responsive assessment, and way better cycles of feedback, and way better willingness to really focus on the behaviors that we want to change when we're going through the process. But we're liberated. We're at a moment in which the boundaries are blowing up.
That's exciting. Is it a technology-driven revolution, or is it due to the disruption outside the workplace? What's the cause of this? What is driving it?
I think we're growing up age-wise. I think learning and development is going from being a teenager to a young adult. I think it is it's democratizing. I think those tools are in more hands. All that you and I and others have done around big data has opened up the door that we're going to have a lot more evidence to shape some of the rituals, whether they were good or bad. We're going to have some evidence to frame it. And more importantly, I think we have licensed the ability for people, when they're curious, to deserve, demand, and get multiple sets of answers against that curiosity. And multiple sets of answers will eliminate the fact that it's going to come from one subject matter expert or one course. Curation means that I'll optimize being able to get different perspectives and then apply the right moment of content at that right moment of need and that right moment of application.
How is that all going to be reflected in this year's Learning 18?
We are so excited for three reasons. One is we're adding a whole dimension to our event called Tech at Learning. Because the technologies we're going to use are not necessarily learning management systems. In fact, some of those technologies are technologies that are coming out of the consumer marketplace. A smart assistant, a chatbot, a wearable. Some of them are going to be based on truly starting to apply data and evidence to learning. And some of it is, and this is what's really exciting, some of what's most intriguing, we're going to reflect, is going to come when you start to optimize a business process. You want to inject the tools of learning, performance, and curiosity into it without necessarily calling it school. And so there's going to be design thinking. I think user experience is going to be huge. And Nigel, you'll smile because you live in many countries and work in even more. Learning is going to go global. Some of the most exciting research that I see now are coming from universities in China, are coming from hackathons in Brazil, are coming from startups in Santa Fe and in Bristol. And we're tapping in there, not only different areas of innovation, we're also tapping into different cultures. Because each culture, we bring different assumptions about expertise, about failure, about performance, and we're globalizing learning. And wow, that is so exciting. Almost 3 out of 10 emails I now get from colleagues who want to talk to me about learning are coming from second and third world countries. And I turn those into, I'll teach you, but you better teach me something. Tell me what I can learn from what you're doing. And that's thumbs up and wow.
I really hope that that's given people listening a bit of encouragement and inspiration to turn up at Learning 18 and share and participate in some of those really exciting ideas. So Elliot, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for giving me your time. And thank you for being part of the 100th From Scratch.
Well, I'm honored, and just keep doing what you do, which is connecting cycling and helping to disrupt our world for better human performance and learning, Nigel. It's an honor.
It's a pleasure talking to you, Elliot. Thank you very much indeed. From Scratch.